Good morning. This meeting will come to order. Welcome to the March 20th regular meeting of the Government Audit and Oversight Committee of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. I am Supervisor Jackie Fielder, chair of the committee, joined by Supervisor Sauter and Supervisor Cheryl Sauter being our vice chair. Committee clerk is Monique Creighton. Our thanks to Sue Enos of SFGov TV, James Kawana of SFGov TV for staffing this meeting. Madam Clerk, do you have any announcements?
Yes, public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on your right. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing in either of the following ways. Email them to the Government Audit and Oversight Committee clerk at monique.craighton@sfgov.org. If you can submit public comment via email, it will be forwarded to the supervisors and also included as part of the official file. You may also send your written comments via U.S. Postal Service to our office in City Hall. Number 1, Dr. Carlton B. Goodley Place, room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. If you have documents you would like to be included as part of the file, please submit them to me before the end of the meeting. Please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices to prevent any interruptions to today's proceedings. Finally, items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors agenda of April 8th, 2025, unless otherwise stated.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Please call item number 1.
Yes, item number 1 is a resolution authorizing the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing to solicit donations from various private entities and organizations to support the expansion of temporary shelter and other homeless services to support people experiencing homelessness, notwithstanding the behested payment ordinance. This item will be referred to the board, to the full board, as a committee report for consideration on March 25th, 2025.
Thank you. And I understand Director McSpadden of HSH will be presenting this item. Director McSpadden, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, honorable members of the Government Audit and Oversight Committee. I'm Shireen McSpadden, Executive Director of the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing. I'm here today with the fourth behested payment waiver request for HSH that will continue to support our engagement with the philanthropic and private sectors to support shelter and homelessness services. I want to acknowledge and thank President Mandelman for his co-sponsorship on this legislation. Are we good? Okay. The resolution would authorize leadership staff in the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing to solicit donations from various private entities and organizations to support the expansion of temporary shelter and other homelessness services. Our current behested payment waiver was approved by the board on October 22nd, 2024, through Resolution 517-24 and will expire on April 17th of this year. Changes from past behested payment waiver legislation, we narrowed the scope from all HSH staff to 10 leadership staff, HSH's executive director, 2 chief deputy directors, 4 deputy directors, and 3 program directors. These are staff that will need to be in the room to support conversations with private and philanthropic partners to support our key initiatives. And it pertains only to HSH, as the mayor's office has their own waiver under ordinance number 010-25. So in the past, the department has established successful and innovative public-private partnerships to meet critical needs of people experiencing homelessness. Just to give an example, we've worked with Tipping Point, Schwab, and Crankstart to do some of these things. And the Mayor's Fund for the Homeless is a Category 8 fund established to receive donations for homeless services, with existing reporting to Homeless Oversight Commission and annual reporting to the Board of Supervisors. And then just, I obviously don't need to spend a lot of time on the shelter crisis. I think everybody understands the need on our streets. However, to provide some context for the public on why this waiver is critical for HSH, to address the homelessness crisis, according to the 2024 point in time count, there were about 8,300 people experiencing homelessness, 52% of whom were unsheltered. As of February 2025, the department had 3,613 temporary shelter or crisis intervention slots with a 93% occupancy rate. And then our Home by the Bay strategic plan to prevent and end homelessness in San Francisco calls for an investment of resources, including 1,075 new shelter beds to meet the plan's goals, including a 50% reduction of unsheltered homelessness in 5 years. So I want to thank you for your consideration. We're excited to be working closely with Mayor Lurie's administration to move forward philanthropic and private partnerships, and this waiver will support our shared goals in addressing homelessness and the crisis on our streets. And Chair Fielder, we've obviously worked closely with you on the proposed amendments that we're in agreement with your suggested amendments, and understand that you would like to read those into the record. Thank you, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Director. Colleagues, do you have any questions, comments? Vice Chair Sauter.
Thank you. In terms of this waiver, do you have specific projects in mind? Are you kind of seeing this as a general fund? And I also want to ask about the mayor's fund for the homeless. It looks like in recent years the donations have trailed off a bit. Is there kind of a vision to reignite or reimagine that?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think there are two ways that the department engages with philanthropy. One of them is just working with philanthropic partners so that they can understand the kind of network that we have, network of providers we have, and what they actually do. And we've worked to get a lot of funding directly to our providers. We did a little bit of work with Tipping Point on the recent prevention money that they are putting out. We've worked with CrankStart and really like talked with them to understand like where strong partners are and how they can, use equity in their funding and things like that. We also, though, are currently in conversations with Tipping Point on case management training that we would like to do for all of our case managers to bring them up to a certain level. And that money, I don't think we've even gotten far enough to figure out if that would go through this fund or if it would come directly, you know, how we would do it, whether it would go to a lead agency, we're not sure yet. But, you know, those are the kinds of things that we're doing. The fund itself is a vehicle that we can use, and we would have to have more conversations with the mayor's office about whether they want us to use that or whether they want to use another vehicle for funding coming from philanthropy.
Thank you. Any other questions? I have a question. I understand that this waiver is a renewal of a previous six-month waiver. Can you share if any donors were solicited during the previous six-month duration and what organizations or donors, which you touched on, but if there are any others you're currently in contact with to solicit donations?
Those three are really the only ones that I've been in contact with over the past 6 months.
Got it. So my understanding is that this waiver is to allow the individuals covered in the waiver to engage in conversations, basically to align public policy with philanthropic muscle. Is that correct?
That's right.
Is it the case that philanthropy is following the lead of public policy, or philanthropy is determining public policy?
I mean, I think generally philanthropy is helping to support public policy, and there's certain things that are attractive to philanthropic organizations that we can't always cover. I mean, I think one of the examples is prevention. You know, we don't have enough dollars for that, and we know how important it is. And it can be really attractive to donors if we package it correctly and work with them. And I think, you know, that's something that we're really thinking about doing more of. You know, I can't say that we helped inform Tipping Point. I mean, they had their own vision with prevention. But since then, we've been talking with some of the other philanthropic organizations about like kind of adding on to what they did, but it's also our own vision. You know, it's our own vision that we need more prevention dollars in order to really, you know, kind of deal with the inflow, because we know that we're not going to have enough shelter and housing for everyone who needs it. So, you know, I think they work hand in hand, but I wouldn't say that philanthropy kind of bends our will to some other policy. I think that we work hand in hand and generally agree on the same principles.
Yep, understood. Thank you so much. And absolutely, in the space of homelessness, there is not enough, especially in a budget deficit, to serve people. As with a lot of these behested payment waivers, I am cautious about how it might lend, it might invite certain parties that would be considered interested parties to dangle a carrot in front of the city for the city's policies and how we approach all these major issues. And so I would like to, I mean, in the report that we're asking for in this waiver, I'd like to understand the nature of those conversations and how it is aligning and following public policy we set in the city government. And of course, it makes a lot of sense to have philanthropy complement what we do. But I also want to make sure that, you know, we are following public policy that we are setting internally in city government.
Understood. I mean, I just think it's been a really good vehicle for us to have conversations and to make the pot bigger. And, you know, obviously we need dollars from other sources in order to really even do the work that we're doing at this level, right? And we're still not meeting everybody's needs. And so I've just kind of always looked at it like that, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you so much for answering my questions.
Sure, thank you.
All right, thank you, colleagues. Seeing no other questions, Madam Clerk, let's take public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up now along the side by the windows. All speakers will have 2 minutes. It appears we have no public comment.
Seeing no one else making public comment is closed. I am introducing an amendment to this item today to require reporting to the Board of Supervisors 60 days after the expiration of this waiver. I'd like to thank HSH for working with my staff on these amendments, and my staff has emailed the amendments to you, colleagues, and they should be in your inbox, and I have also brought copies before you, and I now move to amend this item as presented.
Yes, and on the motion to approve the amendments as presented, Chair Fielder?
Aye.
Chair Fielder, aye. Vice Chair Sauter?
Aye.
Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill? Member Sherrill, aye. I have 3 ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. I now move to send this item to the full Board of Supervisors as a committee report with positive recommendation.
Yes, and on the motion to forward this item to the full board as a committee report with the positive recommendation as amended, Chair Fielder?
Aye.
Chair Fielder, aye. Vice Chair Sauter?
Aye.
Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill?
Aye.
Member Sherrill, aye. I have 3 ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Yes, item number 2 is a resolution authorizing the mayor, officers, and employees of the Office of the Mayor, Recreation and Parks Commissioners, and officers and employees of the Recreation and Park Department to solicit donations for the India Basin Waterfront Park Initiative from nonprofits, private organizations, grant makers, and foundations for 6 months, effective upon approval of this resolution, notwithstanding the behested payment ordinance.
Thank you. And today, Ms. Lisa Branson, Director of Partnerships at the Rec and Parks Department, will be presenting on this item. Ms. Branson, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chair Fielder, Supervisor Sauter, and Cheryl. As Chair Fielder mentioned, I'm Lisa Branson. I'm the Director of Partnerships at the Recreation and Park Department. And I'm here today to ask you to approve a resolution granting certain members of the mayor's office and Rec and Park staff a 6-month waiver of the behested payments ordinance so that we can assist the community and our partners with fundraising for the India Basin Waterfront Park public-private partnership. And just a little bit of background, because I haven't been to the board with this initiative in a while. The India Basin Initiative is an ambitious 5-way public-private partnership established to build a world-class park in the Bayview Hunters Point neighborhood in deep partnership with the community. Walking shoulder to shoulder with the department on this project are 4 nonprofits: the National Nonprofit Trust for Public Land, the San Francisco Foundation, and the San Francisco Parks Alliance, which are citywide nonprofits, and the community nonprofit, the A. Philip Randolph Institute. Through the work we are doing together, we will turn a vacant lot purchased by the department in 2014 and the adjacent but formerly underperforming park into a thriving green space for the community. A little background on why this is so important in this neighborhood at this time. As you can see from the slide, the community bears many of the markers of the city's most underserved neighborhoods: poor health outcomes, poor educational outcomes, and low household incomes. Part of the reason for this is because the neighborhood is where the city has traditionally placed infrastructure that no one else wanted: power plants and sewer treatment plants. An important goal of this project is to bring a restorative piece of civic infrastructure to the community to begin to fulfill some long-promised green space. Do you guys want to come in? Sorry, looks like we have a school group coming in. All right, I'll keep going. So we've already made significant progress in fulfilling commitments to this community. In 2022, we completed a cleanup of toxic soil on the former shipbuilding site. And last fall, we opened the first section of this new park to the public in a really joyous celebration on October 19th. In the next few months, we expect to start construction on the last section of the park and open it in early 2028. Here are a few photos of the newly opened park with its beautiful pier and community-created art piece. And I'd invite you to come out on a weekend and enjoy some of the food from the local businesses operating pop-ups at the food pavilion, or stop in at the Welcome Center and learn a little bit about the site's history. Importantly, all of this work is guided by a plan developed by the community that directs the partners how to build a park where the benefits accrue to the existing community. This Equitable Development Plan, or EDP, is an emerging best practice in park construction and guides us to focus on a number of areas, most of which are not related to the regular rec and park work of building and maintaining parks. They are arts, culture and identity, youth opportunities, workforce and business development, connectivity, transit, access and safety, healthy communities and ecology, and housing security. And even as we are building the park, we are working with the community in many of these areas. And just a couple of examples you'll see in the lower right: our free Learn to Swim program that we're using some of these funds to put on. And in the middle of the bottom row of photos is a graduation of a cohort of community members who did construction skills training with our community nonprofit, the A. Philip Randolph Institute. And so in order to accomplish all of this, the partners are working to leverage about $125 million of public funds with more than $75 million in private funding to deliver this extraordinary park and its EDP. As you can see from these charts, in addition to remediation, design, construction, and administration, the traditional things that Rec and Park does, the partners are committed to at least $15 million in EDP projects and programs, and this must be funded with private funds because public funds are in the most part restricted to construction and work to support the construction. As you can see, the partners have been quite successful to date in securing public and private funds. And we have just about $2.4 million left to raise. But success begets success, and the partners are now committed to continuing the efforts to cover contingencies and to add to the EDP programs. We are committed to continuing to fundraise until we cut a ribbon on the last section of the park to deepen the investments in the community that so deserves this type of attention from our city. So thank you so much for listening to the presentation. I'm happy to take any questions about the project, but most particularly about the resolution.
Thank you so much, Ms. Branston. Colleagues, do you have any questions or remarks? I understand. So 97% of the private funding for this project has been secured, correct?
That's correct. But as I mentioned, we intend to exceed the $75 million original target.
Understood. And that is because, as you said, public funds are largely restricted to capital and construction.
Exactly.
Understood.
Yep.
Got it. And then my understanding is that the previous waiver included the commission. Is there a list of donors who were solicited by members of the commission?
A list of, I don't have a specific list of donors that were solicited by the commission. There were a few.
Okay. Understood.
We have a campaign cabinet. And the campaign cabinet, it's actually quite an extraordinary thing, and I don't want to take up all of your time talking about this project, which I'm very passionate about, but the campaign cabinet is comprised of both community members and philanthropic leaders in the city, and they're quite extraordinary to see these, you know, people from the Bayview and billionaires talking to each other about how to move the campaign forward. Mm-hmm. And Commissioner Carrie Wintrub is a member of the campaign cabinet.
Thank you. And then those are all my questions for now. I am introducing amendments to this item to limit the waiver to a more specific list of Rec and Park Department staff, and also to require reporting 60 days after the expiration of this waiver. This is in line with the other behested. Oh, sorry, Vice Chair Sauter.
Thank you, Chair Fielder. First, I see Kurt Grimes in the audience. I want to recognize Kurt and A. Philip Randolph Institute. Kurt took me on a tour of the park last year, and I was excited to see the progress, and I'm excited to go back in a few years to see it complete. In the future, this is a very helpful overview to get up to speed. I do think in the future, for a situation like this where you've had donations already, to see some of the specific foundations or individual donors in kind of a summary presentation would be helpful. That's my only comment, and I'll turn it back to you, Chair Fielder.
And I can absolutely follow up. We are posting every single donor in compliance with the Sunshine Ordinance on the India Basin website, so I'm happy to forward a link to that as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Vice Chair Sauter. And to resume what I was talking about, our amendments are aligned with other behested payment waivers that have gone before us recently, and I would like to thank the Rec and Park Department and Supervisor Walton's team for working with my staff on these amendments. And my staff has emailed the amendments to you colleagues, and they are also in front of you. So seeing no other questions, thank you so much, Ms. Branston. Madam Clerk, let's take public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up now along the side by the windows. All speakers will have 2 minutes. Our first speaker can come up, please. Yes, you may begin.
Good morning, supervisors. My name is Kurt Grimes, and I am the Senior Program Manager with the A. Philip Randolph Institute, San Francisco. I am also a Bayview resident. I support the project, and I urge you to, as well, to approve the behest waiver. This is a community project that truly invests in local nonprofits and businesses. We need more flexibility to support community in working with Rec and Park and in their participation and then their ability to fundraise. Thank you.
Next speaker can come up, please.
Grand Rising Supervisors, my name is Micah Pinkston. I'm a native of San Francisco, fourth generation, and executive director and founder of From the Heart. I'm a community based nonprofit in Baby Hunters Point on the Hill in District 10. From the Heart has focused on the four properties, which are All Hallows, Bayview, LaSalle, and Sherview apartment properties built by our ancestors, the Big Five, in 1973. In their honor, we've planned and executed five key programs, which are food security, access and distribution, community beautifications, violence prevention, community town hall series, and community safety meetings, tenant advocacy, case management, and counseling. From the Heart has grown tremendously over the years by remaining committed to serving the community through workforce development, youth mentorship, food access, and community beautification. We began as a small grassroots an effort to the 2 years of the pandemic, and we utilized Indian Basin Park to assist the whole entire hill. So this park is very important to us in our community, and we'll just appreciate anything and all things that can help continue to build and continue success in our community with this park. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Hi, good morning, commissioners. My name is Chica Mezzi, and I'm a program manager with the A. Philip Randolph Institute. I also sit on the commission for the Southeast Community Center. I sit on the India Basin Campaign Cabinet Committee, and the list goes on, but I am here to say that I'm in full support of this project. I've worked on it from day one, from being invited to the table to just give my feedback to now being a part of the planning conversations and actually implementing our ideas and listening to community to really make things happen. So I'm in full support of this, and we hope to continue doing the work.
Thank you. Do we have any more public commenters? Madam Chair, that concludes public comment.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Thank you to members of the public for engaging in public comment in our often forgotten committee. It's really special to see people of the public engage in something, and I just want to thank people for participating and speaking up for their communities. Seeing no one else making public comment is now closed. I now move to amend this item as presented. And on the motion to amend, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes, and on the motion to amend this item or accept the amendments as presented, Vice Chair Slaughter.
Aye.
Vice Chair Slaughter, aye. Member Sherrill?
Aye.
Member Sherrill, aye. Chair Fielder? Chair Fielder, aye. I have three ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. I now move to send this item to the full Board of Supervisors with positive recommendation. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes, and on the motion to forward this item to the full Board of Supervisors with the positive recommendation as amended, Vice Chair Sauter?
Aye.
Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill?
Aye.
Member Sherrill, aye. Chair Fielder?
Aye.
Chair Fielder, aye. I have three ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Yes, item number three is a resolution authorizing Department of Technology Chief Information Officer to enter a no-cost memorandum of understanding under which the city will provide feedback to Innovate US and which will grant to Innovate US a right to use the city's feedback for any purpose, including the development, modification, marketing, or publicity of products or services effective upon approval of this resolution for a two-year term. And to authorize the Director of Department of Technology to enter into amendments or modifications to the MOU that do not materially increase the obligations or liabilities to the city and are necessary to effectuate the purposes of the MOU or this resolution.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And today we have Mr. Jeremy Pollock, Legislative and Technology Analyst at the Department of Technology, to present this item. Mr. Pollock, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chair Fielder, Supervisors Sauter and Sherrill. My name is Jeremy Pollock. I'm the Legislative and Technology Analyst for the Department of Technology. The item before you is a resolution approving a memorandum of understanding with Innovate US to provide the city with training for city workers on artificial intelligence skills at no cost to the city. in exchange for the city providing anonymized feedback on the training and usage data. And I have a brief presentation to go over this. First of all, just a little bit about why we want this training for the city workers. We currently have no training related to AI in the city's learning catalog, and AI is quickly becoming a part of life in the city. Last year, we had a pilot program with ChatGPT that had over 2,000 city employees participating. The first live training they had over 700 attendees live on the training that ChatGPT provided, that's showing just a lot of interest in this from city workers. The ordinance passed last year, sponsored by Supervisor Hillary Ronan, to direct DT to create an inventory of the uses of AI by city departments is something that we're starting, and we know that departments are looking at and starting to deploy these tools, and so we want to give city workers the training they need to develop these skills and understand the risks and requirements around the city's AI guidelines. And we simply don't have the capacity to do this training ourselves. We're just staffing up our emerging technology division at DT. And last year, the AI working group expended a lot of resources to create just a 6-minute sort of overview of the city's AI guidelines, and creating full trainings is beyond our current capacities. And a little bit about how we selected Innovate US. Last year, the city administrator led an AI working group that reviewed available trainings and selected Innovate US for these factors, I think largely because their training is fully focused on public sector employees. All of the examples used in the trainings come from state and local and federal governments. The trainings are technology agnostic. They're not supporting a particular model or company's large language model. It's vetted by a number of peer governments that are using it. The state of California went through an extensive process with Innovate US to select them. And the trainings sort of fit the categories that we're looking for. They're self-paced courses, approximately 2 hours in length, which we feel provides the appropriate level of detail for this kind of introductory level of training. They can be hosted on our internal training platform, so we manage the training and we don't direct city employees to external websites. And all of the trainings include modules that cover the risks of AI around privacy issues, bias, hallucinations, and incorrect answers, and those sorts of issues. And so the initial plan is we'll be offering three trainings. The first one is essentially an AI 101, going over the basics of AI for individual users. The second one is directed more at sort of program leads and department leadership to understand how to approach applying AI to department practices and projects and manage risk. And the third one is what they call fast field scanning. Basically, this is the practice of how to use AI for looking at best practices from other jurisdictions for particular public policy problems, and identify solutions and evaluate them to apply to San Francisco. And lastly, a little bit about the memorandum of understanding. Innovate US has basically changed their practice, where they no longer require these MOUs to give out this training to cities. We decided to go ahead with it because of the added protection it gives to the city and the added transparency. Chiefly, the MOU requires Innovate US to indemnify us from any legal claims against them. It memorializes the data sharing, that no city data is shared with Innovate US except for the aggregated training completion data and anonymous surveys that are voluntary for city employees to take. It confirms that the Sunshine Ordinance and Public Records Act apply to everything related to this. And this MOU gives the Board of Supervisors the opportunity to weigh in on this arrangement. And also, it ensures that the city has approval for any use of the city's usage of this training in any communications or from Innovate US. And that concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much. Colleagues, any questions or comments? Supervisor Sherrill.
Thank you for being here today. Quick question. Can you be a little more specific on what aggregated training completion data means?
Yeah, so we would basically provide the number of trainings completed on a monthly basis to Innovate US of how many city employees completed each of the different training modules.
Thank you. And then another question. In terms of requiring city employees to take this training, I'm sorry if I missed that in your presentation. Is there a requirement for this?
That's a great question. Currently, there is not a plan to make this a required training. We have so many trainings in the city that we thought it best to introduce this as an optional training for city employees and leave it up to departments and individual teams to how to approach it. I think that's a good question. I think looking forward about what level of training on these issues should be required, that we would want to approach with the Department of Human Resources and understand how this fits in the sort of the larger training landscape of the city.
Great. If I could encourage you to, should this go through positively, maybe proactively forward this to the 2,000 plus individuals using the ChatGPT pilot.
Absolutely. That's an excellent idea.
If I may. Thank you.
I have a question slash comment. So you touched on it with the sharing of aggregate completion data. How else would Innovate US benefit from the data that they get to sift through and keep?
Right. So Innovate US is it's a part of Northeastern University. They're solely focused on technology trainings for government employees. And so this is kind of their how they show that what they're accomplishing is through the number of city employees that they're training or government employees. They would also benefit from the anonymous feedback from city employees about, you know, at the end of the training, there is a survey that city employees have can voluntarily fill out to give feedback on the training. It's likely that Innovate US would want to include the fact that San Francisco is one of their partners in public-facing materials, and that sort of reputational benefit of knowing and being able to advertise that San Francisco is using this training. I think that's the extent of the benefit that I can understand.
I can probably guess the answer to this, but is there anything in their training around the environmental impacts, namely the increased demand on the electricity grid when our employees use ChatGPT or any other AI platform?
I believe there's some brief mentions of the intensity of energy usage, but I don't recall that being a primary focus of any of the risks in the risk module that I completed on the training.
Understood. Thank you. Yeah, that's probably more of a policy question for the city as it relates to how that aligns with our greenhouse gas emission goals and our climate action plan. That's something that I'm interested in sorting out. Supervisor Sherrill, do you have another question?
Yeah, sorry. Just back to the anonymous aggregated data. Can you confirm, so city employees who perform the training, will their names or emails be shared with Innovate US?
No, there'll be no personal information shared with Innovate US. The responses will be shared, but nothing tying it to individuals.
Okay.
Or no personally identifiable information will be shared with Innovate US.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to interject over my colleagues. I'd like to make a motion to bring this to the board with a positive recommendation.
First, we have to go to public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up now along the side by the windows. All speakers will have 2 minutes to speak. It appears we have no public comment.
Seeing no public comment is now closed. On Supervisor Sherrill's motion, Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll?
Yes, and on the motion to forward this item to the full board with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Sauter.
Aye.
Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill.
Aye.
Member Sherrill, aye. Chair Fielder.
Aye.
Chair Fielder, aye. I have 3 ayes.
The motion passes. Madam Clerk, please call item 4 through 13.
Items 4 through 13 is 6 ordinances and 4 resolutions authorizing and approving settlement of lawsuits and unlitigated claims against the city. I would like to note that item number 10 will be referred to the full board as a committee report for consideration on March 25th, 2025.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Colleagues, do you have any suggestions to go into closed session? I don't. So, I'm going to make a motion to I move to recommend these settlements to the full board.
Yes, we want to call a public comment first, and then we'll move to the motion.
Thank you. Let's take public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on these items should not line up now along the side by the windows. All speakers will have 2 minutes. It appears we have no public comment.
Public comment is now closed. A motion to send these settlements as with a positive recommendation to the full board. Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll?
Yes, and on the motion to forward items 4 through 13 to the full board with a positive recommendation, item number 10 will be forwarded as a committee report for consideration on March 25th, 2025. Vice Chair Sauter?
Aye.
Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill?
Aye.
Member Sherrill, aye. Chair Fielder?
Aye.
Chair Fielder, aye. I have 3 ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Madam Clerk, any other business before us today?
No, that concludes our meeting agenda.
Seeing no other business, we are adjourned.